Welcome to The Ether. Today is Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Achepe Space. Come teach Jade about NFTs. Let's take a listen.
It's kind of funny, right?
Oh my god, I'm dying. That's exactly right.
You're so goofy.
That's so funny. What I saw someone was talking about it earlier, and then you posted that, and I don't know what it is, but I had to have it. So
yeah, it's kind of just the latest, like it's just a new Stargaze thing, and I don't know. It's the thing is, like, what I don't like to buy is these like these derivative things, like stuff that was on other like if they were on other platforms, you know, and it's just like a copy, like the all the different apes and all that shit. It's like, I don't think those are going to be like worth anything. Is that, what do you think?
Well, I'm new to NFTs. I'm recently having an NFT phase, but I'm glad that I'm having my NFT phase when this is, you know, $30 instead of $3,000, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not really having so much of a phase. It's just like I have a bunch of like Stargaze yields, so I'm just wasting on whatever the fuck shows up.
Oh yeah, okay. So you've just been staking stars, and you just use the yield for these random star chodes and things like that.
Yeah, there's a guy by the name of Larry Zero X, and he is like he started a validator on Stargaze, and he's like, would you like, I don't know, stick a bunch of money in it, kind of like to launch the thing. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. So we did that. And then so you need to have a certain number of like staked coins in order to be in the active set. So otherwise the validator won't earn a yield. So that's how I wound up sticking a lot of stars into this thing. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's more than I would have normally bought for some NFT platform, but Larry's sharp, and like if he likes it, I like it, kind of thing. So I sort of just bought the. So now, yeah, I have just a bunch of yield, and so I can buy whatever with it, or I can restake it or something. I think the on Stargaze, at least, like, yeah, like you said, a lot of the stuff's not too expensive right now. You can just sort of play around. But the other thing is the token itself is reasonable, because I think the market cap of it is has largely been suppressed, right? And it, I think, you know, it's sort of like up only from here for the most part. I don't see a whole lot of downside to the actual token itself. So I'm like, all right, whatever, it's cool. So,
yeah, no, I totally agree. Cause I think, you know, I bought some Atom, and then I said, I want to sprinkle a bunch of the other chains, you know, a smaller amount. So I bought a little bit of, you know, like Stars, Juno, Osmo, Fuji. And so it's fun. I think I bought Stars. It was 2 cents. It's already 4.5 cents, but it's so cheap that it's fun to just go and mint them. And every time I mint, it's kind of like I'm going to scratch off lottery ticket. You never know what you're going to get. And that fulfills kind of the gambler side.
Okay. Yeah, right. It's just like you got to push some buttons every day, right? So the thing is, like, the cheap NFTs are kind of fun in the sense that, like, if you have to, like, fulfill that button pushing urge, like, it sort of does that.
So, you know, like, one of my good friends, actually, he was really successful with Bored Ape Yacht Club, because he minted a bunch of Bored Apes. And I know that we all want to find the next Bored Ape Yacht Club. But I just think it would be hilarious if, you know, one day these were actually worth something. You know, we're just messing around having a good time with a star joke.
Yeah, I think See, the thing is, Stargaze is interesting in that it's one of the few like pure blockchains just for NFT. So, and its integration into Kepler early on means that like everyone that downloads Kepler is going to be able to see the app and get easy access to it, right? So I think that makes a difference. It's not really a great marketplace yet, though. The interface blows, quite frankly. Like, it's terrible. But I think it'll get there. I think the people are building it, that are building it, like, are taking it seriously, and it'll get somewhere. Hey, guys.
Hey,
good. V Wolf, what's up, man?
Hey. Hey, man. Hey, good. Well, it's a bull today.
Come on, V. If there's a moment, V, for you
hey, to put the bulls are minting.
PFP, bro.
Bro, the bulls are minting. I've been
literally in his DMs just sliding in Joe's saying, come on, let's go.
Bro, the bulls are minting right now. You can't have me.
I know, it's literally, but see, you know what? That's what
you know what, do. Actually.
That's what Joe's
I would
do.
Love to. I would love to have a custom bull where Uncle Bull has a child, a baby child on one shoulder and a bad kid on another shoulder. And I actually customized one of my wolves with the bad kids, but I've not changed it yet. But I think I'll do it with the baby childs and a bad kids.
I got one of the babies, and then I got one of those bulls. I don't even know like what the fuck rarity is. What I just like push some buttons and whichever one I like.
So the fun thing about the bulls mint right now is that you're minting barns, so you're not really opening the until you open the barn. You don't know what you have.
Hang on, do you like my bull?
I love your bull. It's really nice.
I can't have, like, a tell black if he's a, like a hotel bellboy.
Show us your bull.
If he's like an army commander, what do you think my bull is?
Your bull is whatever you want him to be. Let me have a look at your bull again. Sefi, okay. Show us your bull.
Thank you.
Also, in regards, your bull is really nice, Jade. I really like your bull. And it goes with the colors of your bad kids, too.
It is. It's a red collection.
Yeah, it's really nice. In regards to like what's the next Bored Ape Yacht Club and everything, I don't think we're going to have a next Bored Ape Yacht Club, but it's going to be the next Bad Kids or the next Chodes or something. If we see the DeFi pumping and the Cosmos, if we see Stars pumping, doing great, I think the prices are going to increase themselves. These prices might go ridiculous. I mean, a similar thing happened in Luna, where people had Luna for quite a while and Luna was pumping after that, and then the NFT prices started going crazy and people were paying thousands, tens of thousands. I mean, some people paid $50,000 for an NFT.
Of course, so, when you're like Luna rich and you can borrow like, you know, $1 million like in a second, right? Like, you can buy all sorts of stupid shit. That was the thing during when everything is going crazy, like, right? You're like, oh, let me blow, you know, $20,000 on this and $10,000 on that, whatever, you know.
Well, so, exactly. Yeah, it's more of like, how do I funnel the funds somewhere else?
Here's my bull. Tell me if this is any good. It's got like a third eye. It's like devil from the, I don't know, like, it's black. It's interesting looking.
Bro, that's not a wrecked bull. That's a Stargaze bull.
This is a Stargaze bull, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you
that's a different bull.
Well, wrecked bulls are now where? Where are your wrecked bulls now? They're on
Juno.
On Juno, yeah. Okay, so this is just the one I got on Stargaze today. Whatever the fuck this is. Is it any
good?
I have no idea.
If this doesn't say your PFP for the next month, I'm going to be very sad. I'm going to cry. Selfie, like, this is an epicenter. Like, this is the moment. Like, this is the moment the Chodes take over.
You, I thought the third eye sort of like spoke to me though.
It did.
I don't know much about the Stargaze bulls.
In your dreams.
I don't know much about the Stargaze bulls, to be honest. Well, the wrecked bulls are minting on MintDAO, and they're going to be traded on Loop Marketplace. But you know what? I love the chodes, and what Wolfman said, I want to see your PFP to be a chodes. I love
I've
the chodes.
I've got a pile of Juno ready. Maybe I'll go figure out where your rec bulls are in there.
Did you get a whitelist? Did you get your wallet whitelisted?
Shit, I don't know. Probably not.
I did. I got a whitelist, and I blew my wad on more baby chodes. Sorry.
Hey, well, at least the secondary will be there for everyone, I guess.
I literally went, I put my funds in JunoSwap, bought USD, had the money sitting, but I was early, and then the floor started falling on the baby chodes, and I had to go rescue them, so I went and sold all my USDC so that I could buy some more baby chodes and own. I think I own like 10% of the supply. So if there's anyone's going to dump on you, it's going to be me. I'm going to dump on you. I get to be that guy. And I won't, because I'm too much of a hoarder. So you guys are safe. Literally, you're really, really like more safe than the bulls than anyone else. You're really safe with chodes, because the one guy who's literally able to dump on everyone isn't capable of dumping because he's a hoarder.
Can I ask, what is, there's baby chodes?
Yes, so originally,
what is that?
And the genesis.
Look at Holmes. Holmes is a baby chode.
Yeah. And
I bought one of those too, just for the fuck of it. I have no idea why.
Yeah. So like in the Genesis mint, like I have my project Alleys, and so we were one of the Genesis projects that minted, and so was the chodes. And so they minted, and if you held two chodes, you got airdropped a baby. And then after that, they minted for 69 stars. It's beautiful. I mean, like, and so now there's a goal too. Like, we're trying to, one of the things I want to see is a 69 hold.
You know, there needs to be like a way on, like, let's say the Stargaze platform to kind of be like, I don't know what the right word is, but there needs to be a way to kind of be like a crowdfunding, like founder or some shit, right? That gives you some sort of access. Why? Because like, brown nosing you motherfuckers on Discord or on like whatever, like I don't like feel like doing that shit, right? Like going on Discord and getting whitelisted and all this other nonsense. I'm like, whatever. I don't feel like doing all that. So it's like for people that just want to like somehow like just be it, like do like a founder type of thing for an art project. It makes sense to have that capability on the marketplace, I think, or like a what's it called, a founding patron or something like that, right? What happened to Bruce? Bruce, you're hanging out in listener for some reason. Why are you hanging out down there? Down there. I don't know what he's doing, sleeping or something.
Is Wolf talking? I can't hear him. Am I broken?
I don't know. I can hear you.
I'm getting some funny comments on my new chode.
Something happened to our connections or something?
I can hear you. I don't know if anyone else is talking.
Yeah, it's just me and you, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think. Whale, are you there? I think there's like some kind of connection issue.
Okay, well, we can just talk. Someone said my chode has good tits.
No, that's good.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it would be bad to have bad tits, I guess.
I have so many new NFTs now. I just don't know which one I want to be my PFP. So many fun ones to choose from. So do you, Seffy. You've got a nice collection.
Wait, collection of what?
Of NFTs.
I don't know. I just started buying them the other day. Like, whatever the fuck. Just push some buttons.
You've got a good hero. I liked your hero with the pink six pack.
I checked. There's a website you can go to. I forget the name of it now. And you can check like the rarity or whatever the hell for these things, right?
Hubble.
Yes, exactly. I went on Hubble. I was like, holy shit, my NFTs suck. I don't even know what I'm buying. Like, I should probably look them up before I buy them or something. But like the rarity or whatever's low. But you know, that's the other thing too. Like, if let's say a project's going to be really, really popular, it does sort of make sense to buy the cheapest one, and you buy the cheapest one, like the absolute plain, like most plain thing possible, you're probably getting the better deal overall because you're paying like very little for it, and it will get dragged up by anything if it gets popular anyway, like assuming you care about the price or whatever. But I think it's easier to buy the cheap ones in some ways because you don't have to give a fuck what the actual like rarity and all that bullshit is and go and look all that stuff up. Like, who really cares, honestly, unless you like, but if you mint them and you get them, I guess that's cool. Like, it just, like you said, Jade, it's like the gambler part, but to go and pay like,
I could agree.
I don't know. What do you like?
Agree more with you. No, I can't agree with you more on that. The floors are always the most liquid. The floors are always the easiest to sell and flip. The rare ones are much harder to flip because if you have a rare one, you really have to find a collector.
Yeah, like I found this to be true. I bought some diamonds. Yeah, I bought some, what are called perfect diamonds. Like, you know, in the diamond world, that's like natural diamonds that are like whatever the little gem association, you know, like criteria are. It's like the very absolute top, like you can get on a diamond, right? The cut, the color, the whatever, you know, whatever they are, right? But it's called a perfect diamond when you're at the very top of that shit. and it's interesting because, like, diamonds, when you get to the perfect grade, are truly double what the price of a diamond would be of everything else, but the just the one level below that, right? Like, perfect ones are quite expensive. So I bought a pair of these as... I bought a ring for my wife that was a perfect diamond. I don't know, just because it seemed like a, I don't know, you know, like if I'm going to get one, like why not get a good one kind of thing. I realized like, wow, like not only is it costs you more to get it, but like you said, it's not as liquid of a market. There aren't as many people that want those. So they're not recommended as something to buy if you want to have the possibility of some kind of like resale value or something like that in case you had an emergency and I had to pawn off your diamond or some shit. It's the wrong one to try to sell quickly because you're not going to get very many buyers for it. So yeah, I noticed that there too. So I think this is true. You're right. The high end ones, you're gonna have a hard time selling.
In terms of the price and the value, you always need to remember that the value or the price of the NFT is what it originally minted at. If the floor does, for example, even with the star charts, I think the mint price was 69 stars. So they've done a 10x already. I mean, they could do another 10x, and that's entirely possible and fine. But in terms of price and value, it's always going to be that 69 stars. But that's the nature of NFTs and every other asset too, that things increase in value and they decrease in value too. But you have to be a bit of
very... Why do some people like mint, but then they sell these things at lower than the mint price? What's up with that?
I think it's people's main concern. They think that the value isn't there. Have you bought something? Are you talking about Heroes recently? Because it depends on various factors. So with Heroes, the issue was that for some Hero holders, it was a free airdrop. So they didn't even anything for the whitelist or to get those Heroes. And then for people on the whitelist, they bought it for 333 stars. And then for public, it was 1,111. So for example, I bought two Heroes.
But even if you got these, like, even if you got these cheap, right? Let's say 500 stars. That's like how much in dollars? Let's see, 500. I think that's like, it's like $25. Why bother even selling it? Why not just hold it if you got it for free?
So for example, now
it's a little bit weird.
I bought two Heroes on whitelist for 333 stars, and I sold both of mine for 700 stars and then 715 stars. And I think I bought two star chodes with that money instead, because I'm more bullish on star chodes than Heroes.
Now, why are you bullish on star chodes? Just because it's just quirky and funny or something?
Yeah,
or
just because it's a meme. Because Heroes are always going to... Heroes have been pumping out collections. And for me, I think it's similar art and it's just copy paste, rinse and repeat again and again. But with Chodes, it's a meme. It's funny. It's yeah. just funny, and you can just mess about with it. And even if
the minute I saw Bad Kids, I was like, this is probably going to do well, right? Like, the minute I saw it, I was like, okay, people are going to get tired of this AI shit. They're going to get tired of the regenerative shit. And like, if you look at how the art world works, like the hand-drawn stuff is like things that are credibly human made are going to have a massive potential, I think, even in the regular art world, because the capabilities of AI driven art at the moment are impressive. So like 3, 4, 5 years from now, it's like, wait, the Bad Kids was scribbled by a girl. And like, you know, it's funny. And
I think just it's going to do well. I love the Bad Kids. I loved the Bad Kids since day one, since they were shielded back in March by some of our friends in the Wrecked Gang. The Bad Kids is actually AI art. It's not something hand drawn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It looks hand drawn. So
I didn't know that either. There you go. I didn't believe that until there was a guy who minted a collection, Bad Pets, and he was saying that I've been inspired by the Bad Kids and putting this through my AI render, whatever they do. And I was like, oh shit, this actually might be AI. It makes it even more funny, ridiculous, and even more of a collectible that it's not hand-drawn, it's AI. And how you made an AI do that is beyond me.
That is so funny. How many are there with the Bad Kids?
There's 10,000, but 3 of them have been burnt, apparently. Someone just sent them to
I should have thought twice about it when it's like, oh yeah, someone drew 10,000 of these. It doesn't make any sense. So yeah, if I had looked at the number, I should have probably been like, yeah, they didn't really draw those by hand. 10,000 is a lot. But whatever.
But the Bad Kids, it's I don't see them going anywhere soon. I mean, it's original. It's a very, very original art. It's a very original NFT collection compared to what we've seen on other chains. I mean, I've seen collections on Ethereum, Solana, Polygon, and there's nothing even. There's nothing like the Bad Kids anyway.
Yeah, that's what I noticed too. It's like the originality piece, like you said, is I think obviously relevant. There's quite a few. Like, I'm tired of the like Bored Ape Yacht Club monkey thing. Like, how many versions of that do you need on how many blockchains? Like, yeah, I mean, maybe it took some work to get them made, but the derivative nature of them will always in art world have like a ceiling price. Like, no one's going to collect them like some original type thing because they feel like it's just copied. But
the derivatives are always great for the original collection because it just goes on to show that the original is so good that they needed to make derivatives. And then
right, it's worth copying.
Exactly. And then people who buy the derivatives are going to want to buy the original. A similar thing happened with the punks, where even with the Bored Apes, you see so many derivatives. It's insane. And that's why that's driving the value of the apes and the punks up, because whenever you go to all these different chains and there's punks and apes over there, people who are whales and who have ridiculous amount of money on those blockchains will go to Ethereum and they will want to buy a punk or a Bored Ape.
Yeah, people kind of run out of it seems like people run out of animals to use too for all their different things. It's like what animal in the animal kingdom has not been turned into an NFT now? I'm not sure. Like, I don't think anything's left untouched.
I love my Bad Kid. I'm attached to it, you know, because it looks so much like me. The features, the blonde hair, I could never sell it. you know, so you were talking about, oh, you know, buying the floor. Like in this particular case, you know, it's not, you know, a cute little animal, which, you know, I've bought some of those. I love this. And like the use for me, it was fun to have it as my profile picture. And then I put up a photo yesterday, like of one of me doing the same kind of side eye. And I think that's fun. It is original and there isn't anything like that. So that's a lot of value to me. And I do enjoy it. It'd be kind of fun. I'm curious how many other people bought ones that look like them, or they just bought ones that they liked. But there is something fun to that. And I'm very attached to it. I could never sell it. That's got a lot of value.
Some of the best, like some of the memorable movies, like, I don't know, Goonies and like Sandlot and like, I don't know, like War Games. And I don't know, there's just like Stranger Things. There's just like something about the renegade kids thing that like has all, like, maybe it's because I was like that when I was a kid. Shit. So it's like, you know, like where you, like, I remember my brother was, so he's 4 years younger than me. So imagine he's like probably like four and maybe I'm eight or something like that. And so he's standing on the edge of the bed and he's like karate kick me. And I'm like, okay. Right. So like you do like this, like karate kid, like, you know, kick, like, cause you know, watch too many movies or whatever. And like, I kicked him in the chest and he flies across the room and hits the closet door and kind of lands on the ground. He's like, holy shit. Like I was flying. And like that kind of thing is kind of like, to me, what the bad kids like vibe represented. And I think that was really cool. Like kind of this, when you're a kid, there's almost like kind of a cruelty too. Like you're going to like, you do stupid shit just because like, you just don't know any better. Right. Not because it's like junior high kids, like big time cruel, sixth, seventh grade, right? That's kind of the same thing.
Hey, speaking of kids, can I tell you guys about this insane house I went to last night? Because I just have to tell someone, I wasn't allowed to take photos. I went to a pumpkin carving party and I wasn't allowed to take photos of this house. And so it was somewhere in the Hollywood Hills. And the only way that I can describe it is imagine that you're 8 years old and you're building your dream house. So you walk up to the house and there's actual NASA rockets. This guy, he collects NASA rockets that are on the property. And he has a three-story treehouse. He has like T-Rex bones, like full T-Rex skeletons with speakers that actually roar at you that scared the crap out of me. You know, pools. He has a moon bar that you have to put your hand on and it does a like a scan. And then there's a stormtrooper looking thing that either decides to let you in or not let you in. It was the most insane house. It was an adult Disneyland playground, and just we were talking about kids and bad kids, and that made me think of this party from yesterday.
This person just like created this house with all this shit in it, like just because he collected it and then created it into like a show for everybody, kind of.
Yeah, he's just a big kid, and he just and it was all decorated for Halloween, so there was spooky stuff everywhere. So of course it's a gorgeous house, but then that the outside, and they had like lasers and lights everywhere. And so it was a small get together. It was maybe 20 people, and then we were just, you know, carving a bunch of pumpkins, and there was so much joy. You know, it's just really fun to kind of be a kid again. And even though he's older, he's got to be in like his 50s or something. It just, he had so much fun having all his friends over and all of his toys, and then he collects a bunch of stuff too. He had like hats from Napoleon. I saw a cup that had Lady Diana Spencer engraved on it. I mean, I was just kind of peeking because every room that you turn into, there was something new. It was just crazy. It was a cool experience.
He's one of these like collectors that has strange things.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, like first edition books and things like that. It was so much fun. So
this is the main utility of PFPs and collectibles too, because I know that there's a lot of people who ask about utility for PFP NFTs. The main utility is the PFP. Like, for example, bad kids, the utility is the PFP aspect of it. You associate yourself with an image and you can bring out your inner child with that image. I've been with Wrecked Gang for about seven months now. And the thing that I love about the Wrecked collection is that it's the Wrecked traits, that you've got all these wolves and now bulls that are wrecked, and they're all just so memeable, cartoonish, and have so much character that you can associate yourself with them and have fun.
Yeah, the comic book style of, like, the, what do you call it, the banners and stuff like that are really nice. The Wrecked team or whatever does pretty nice artwork.
Yeah, the artist Kudo is amazing, and the artist that worked on the bulls, he's done a lot of stuff for Nintendo, and he's really into making characters and actual characters who have a story behind things too. And that's why whenever you look at each bull or even wolf, you can tell that there's a story to tell, and there's always an emphasis on the eyes, because the eyes say a lot about things. And
yeah, it's like a caricature kind of feel to it. Like, you get a feel of the emotion or whatever the thing is thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, for me, when I see PFPs, it's, is it memeable? Is it funny? Does it have a story to tell? And that's why, for me, I would always buy a Chodes or a Bad Kid over a Hero or a Rebels or something else that's not funny, that's trying to be like, oh my God, we're doing something amazing. We're saving the world or some shit. I would always go for something memeable and funny.
Yeah, I think the techno type of look, like the Heroes thing, is kind of, it resonates with maybe like the robot anime crowd a little bit, right? Because I like some of that kind of stuff too, like just as a, you know, but at the same time, yeah, I know what you're saying. It's like, you know, like, how many versions of that are you going to go through exactly? And
exactly. And the thing is that you're going to have Nintendo, or you're going to have the Naruto guys or the Bleach guys come in one day and say that we want these NFTs out of your collection, because you've literally just copy pasted them or stuff from Pokemon. So those guys are going to be coming there soon. And there have been collections that I think Warner Brothers came to Stargaze and told them that we want these NFTs removed. So the same thing might happen with Heroes too. And
Heroes, which ones? Like, which Rebels?
I'm not the sure.
Ones, like the girls?
I've no clue which ones it was, but apparently they said that there was too much similarity between the movie characters. Rebels have actually done a, they've done a post
Rebels
about
as in
this.
What, like Star Wars Rebels or something?
No, it's a Rebels NFT. It's a project. It's
no,
NFT,
but what
project.
I'm saying is, like, what did they copy, or what did it look like that was on TV?
I've no clue what they copied. I just saw their post. I've not looked much into Rebels, because there's just so many projects going on right now. It's hard to keep track of all of them.
But they're trying to get Stargaze to delist it or something?
Yeah, that's what happens. The big companies will come to Stargaze because Stargaze is the marketplace, and they will tell them that. They will send them a notice and be like, we want this removed. You can't sell this. And Stargaze will inform the collection that these specific NFTs need to be removed.
They're going to follow the Millennial Act or whatever, the Millennium Act or whatever.
DMCA or some shit.
DMCA, yeah, Millennium, yeah.
Yeah. It's usually that. So with Heroes, the same thing happened. I asked them about it. I think it was a few days before Mint. I was speaking to the team, and the team were talking shit to me, because I'm talking shit about everyone, and they were saying, "Why do you?" I was asking them that. Look, you've copied so many traits from Naruto and Bleach and all these other animes. So what happens if someone comes through the door and tells you to remove them? And their response was that, oh, well, we've minted it, and it's with the holder, and we can't really do anything. We'll just remove it. And I said, why are you putting your investors or your collectors in that position anyway? Like, why even make that if there's a risk of that?
Yeah, but these marketplaces, they're not going to be able to police all this shit, right? Like, how are you going to know? You're going to go, like, check for trademark and copyright infringement somewhere and all this
They do
shit.
Get removed. They do,
yeah, I mean, I think they will get removed upon request. But I don't think they're going to, unless they know for sure it's a copy of something. The marketplace.
Just to tell you, Rebels, I've not looked much into it. It might be one of the most... No one knows about Stargaze. Let's be realistic here. No one knows about the Cosmos. People from Ethereum or Solana or the big boys, they don't really care about Stargaze. And no one really cares about Stargaze NFTs. So if someone's able to pick an NFT from that, from one tiny project just that's just minted out, such a project that native Cosmos communities don't really care about it, or they've not even looked into it. And if a company is able to pick up a trait or a specific NFT and be like, yeah, this, I'm going, you need to remove it, then you need to know that there is something up there. They've probably got some bots or some sort of algorithm that's picking up these things across the web. Because even on Secret Network, you had
the image detection stuff, yeah?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. You had the redacted rabbits on Stash, and I think Warner Brothers came for them, and they had to remove the whole collection from Stash on Secret. And I think they're doing, they're reworking their art, and they're going to use something else now.
This is why I keep saying, like, NFT... Where any like DeFi platforms need to fuck this doxing nonsense. It's just stupid. Like, you should be anonymous, period, end of story, if you want to like run something like this. Like, if you try to go legit, like, who the fuck's going to police all that stuff, right? And there's always going to be someone trying to sue somebody or whatever. So I don't think it's I think it would be better if the team just fucking disappeared. Like, you know, just don't. Like, don't even respond to these people. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, if you're going to have a decentralized platform, right, and it's generally, generally permissionless, like, then you're stuck with, like, who do you screw over? Do you screw over the company that was copied, or do you screw over the customers who already bought these things? I don't know. It's whatever. Yeah, I guess you have to pick.
Now that you've pointed it out. Now that you've pointed it out, now Stargaze has apparently been voted as the most decentralized chain. So who actually
Well, decentralized, made the decision? But like the devs might be. Do they vet each project before they list them, or can anyone can just show up and list on Stargaze, like permissionlessly? I'm not sure. Because a lot of the Terra projects, the Terra marketplaces that we were used to were permissioned, meaning that the actual marketplace vetted them and all that business, right? And that was sort of a good thing in the sense that, like, people didn't suffer too much from, like, rug pull type situations. So when you have a permissionless system, you get into rug pulls and all. And then when you have doc systems, then you have the possibility that the founders or whatever could get sued or something else like that, like you're talking about.
Yeah, I guess it always comes to the team at the end of the day and the devs, because most of them are doxed anyway. So they're not going to want to, if they don't remove those things, then the big boys are going to come for them.
Yeah, they shouldn't even have contact information. Like, they should all just delete their Twitters or whatever. And like,
but bro, who's gonna enjoy the parties in Medellin? Then who's gonna go to Colombia?
Well, no, you go there, but you don't. You know, it's just you just sort of say, "Hey, I'm with Stargaze" or something. You don't like make a big party out of it.
No, but I think they're trying to do these things to make everything mainstream and to get a following. And I think with the thing with being doxed is that sometimes it develops trust in people at times. But for me personally, for example, I've seen some founders that are fully doxed. Everyone knows them in the NFT space, but I consider them as the biggest shitbags, and I wouldn't trust them with my money or anything else. And I've invested significant sums of money with them, but like with the Wrecked Gang, the team, I've only recently seen two of them. Well, it was a video call, and I saw them. I didn't dox myself, but they did But I, even before, even if they didn't dox themselves or show themselves, I would trust them with anything because I've spent about 6-7 months with them. We have a relationship, and even though it's not a real life relationship, talking to someone for such an extended period of time, you get to know people. Sophie, I just noticed your baby chode. I love it.
Oh, it finally switched. So there's the baby. It's like a wizard hat with like I don't know, like falling meteors or something.
It's wearing a nappy. It's wearing a diaper, but there's no poop coming out. So I'm kind of disappointed, but it's okay.
Oh, is there one with the poop coming out that's like more?
They're freaking crazy. I mean, they're more rare. Vomiting. There are some that are vomiting. There are some that have got poop in their nappy. There's all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I saw the vomiting one.
Yeah, again, it's just they're funny, they're memeable, and it's just the collectible nature of them.
Yeah, anything else on Stargaze that looks interesting?
We've got the Oracle. He's changed his PFP from a bad kid's, and he's. I don't know why he's lifting his hands up when he's using a chode. I think if he had a bad kid, he wouldn't lift his hand up and he'd just interrupt us and start talking.
That's true. Yeah, what's going on, Caesar? What are you doing?
Hey, so can you all hear me?
Yeah, you're good, man.
Hey, so like, here's the deal, right? It's not, the O is silent in chode, okay? It's actually Chad, right? It's Star Chad, all right? So I just want to let everyone know that, you know, those of us Chads, we just want to let everybody know that the O is silent. Anyway, have a good day.
That was the contribution you had for today?
Yep, that's it. I mean, it's kind of like, it's a way of life. I mean, if you're just basically chatting, star chatting and baby chatting, it's kind of like a walk. It's a new fad. It's a new dance. You know what I mean?
I think you could probably take the bad kids like faces and put them onto, you know, that scene in Matrix where I think it's like Matrix 2. Where there's like a bunch of copies of Neo or whatever, not Neo, whatever, Mr. Smith. Remember that? And they're all coming to attack him and he's like kicking him and shit and they're flying all over the place. I think that'd be a funny one to do with the bad kids. Maybe try that. You think it'll work?
So we do a bad kid, but all the others are the Chads. Is that what we're saying?
I would keep calling them Chodes. I don't like the name Chads. I like Chode because it's like a mix between a Chad and a Toad. So it's a Chode.
A Choad.
Yeah, a Choad. Don't take it away from me. I'm enjoying the Chodes. You're calling it Chads and it's not as memeable or funny for me anymore. Please.
Okay. Hey. The kid who popped in, someone popped in at Twitter Space who was talking about it. It was hilarious. He kind of did what I just did. He's like, hey, I got to correct you here, Oracle. The O is silent.
Or do this. Do like a Coach Bruce in the middle, right? And then a bunch of bad kids attacking him. And he's like, just flail, like trying to flail them off, you know, like, and they're overwhelming him, right? And it ends where they kind of like all jump on him and he's finished. Wouldn't that be cool?
I think Coach Bruce is a chode. I'm not sure if Coach Bruce would be a bad kid.
I think we need to really beat the shit out of Coach Bruce on some memes. Oh, he's in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. He's in here. Okay. Yeah, we need to really beat the shit out of Coach Bruce, right? He's basically, you know, every day I wake up in the morning out here in Japan and I read his posts that I... You know, you got to really read it and think about it, but they're hilarious. I think today was one. He put a lot of effort into that. So anyway, I gotta go. It's nice talking to you.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah, I think you can probably. So, Sefi, if you can see Crush Crush Your Nerds PFP. That's a redacted. That's a redacted rabbit, and that got DMCA'd, and they're changing it to a raccoon now. I think Sefi's probably gone to buy another chode.
No, I switched it to this other one. So this is a little, like, you know, Pepe, you know, meme frog. I don't know if you can see it yet. I just changed it.
I love these. I love these.
And he's got like a little mini, like, cat doll in his hand.
Yeah, we had a collaboration with them when it was just Wrecked Wolf, and there was one that there were some Pepes that had a Wrecked Wolf plush with them.
Oh, really? Yeah, I like how the little chart candles in his glasses are going down. He's like, oh fuck, it's going down. It's like the Traders NFT thing where it's like the theme is like a bunch of people getting wrecked or whatever. Pretty fun.
Well, Steffi, I love it. It's a cute little frog.
There you go. Jade is going. Okay, by the way, I'm just going to shill someone right now on Stars because you guys are just going into Stars NFTs. I've got a really close friend in the NFT scene, and the guy is really funny. We all call him Gooch, and he writes in a very specific way, and he's got these Gucci Man coats, GMQs, that are being minted on Stargaze, and they're really funny. It's just things that he said on Discord, like back in March or April, I think he said exit all positions in crypto or something. I'm going to go and find a code and I'm going to link it up. Let me go and find that.
So what is the difference between Stargaze and the new Juno marketplace, Sefi?
They're just a different chain. Like, you can, there's marketplaces on like Luna Classic, Juno, Omniflix, Stargaze. So yeah, they're kind of all over the place. And then there's multiple marketplaces on each of the layer ones, like Juno and stuff. So Stargaze is just a marketplace. And it's, I think, the first app chain of the Cosmos, which also is an interesting little piece of history. So I guess it's the first chain specifically dedicated only to this. Whereas like on Terra, on Juno, whatever, what's the other one? Secret has, I think there's like 7 or 8 chains, like different coins you can buy NFTs with in Cosmos now. So yeah, they'll slowly get bigger and bigger. Okajira, I think, maybe opening some marketplace as well.
So this is probably a silly question. If the Cosmos has Stargaze, which is a whole chain dedicated to NFTs, why would we, you know, like, I bought the Bold today on Juno. Why didn't they list it on Stargaze? Why did they put it on Juno?
So the reason why the Bold didn't go to Stargaze was because there's bad kids and chodes over there, and we don't want to get fucked by the chodes and the bad kids. We don't want to mess with them. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The main reason why we didn't go to Stargaze was because they have I think on Stargaze, you have to really do things with the marketplace. But over at Wrecked Gang, we want to be in control of most things ourselves when it comes to back-end and front-end things, and we don't really like to be reliant on anyone else. So, for example, we minted with MintDAO on Juno, and we have our contracts with Axelar, so they are upgradable contracts, and as soon as that communication layer is there, by Axelar, we can move our Wrecked Bulls anywhere we wanted. And I think there's some things that we would have struggled with on Stargaze. Also, with Stargaze, there's you can only have 20% of the collection whitelisted. The remaining has to be for public. You have to have 80% for public. So we wanted to do things in a very different way. We had a dynamic supply, which was on demand. It depended on how many people actually wanted these NFTs, and not how many we wanted to mint. So it was a dynamic supply, a dynamic price. And even now, while these NFTs are being revealed, like you did, Jade, that they were, you minted a barn, it was your choice whether you want to leave it as a barn. So the barn is it's like an unopened Pokemon or sports card. So it's always going to be more valuable than an opened one. So there are many things that we did, and we thought it would be best to do it while we are on Juno. And we have DAODAO and a few other things that we're really excited about on Juno. But we can definitely move the wrecked bulls to Stargaze. I'm really looking forward to them. And to be honest, before the bad kids started pumping recently and they got a lot of attention, not many people really paid attention to Stargaze.
Yeah, I think, on the whole, the plus side for the Juno marketplace is going to be that the incorporation of a few things coming together, like one is DAODAO and the ability to create like an organization, and therefore like members who have NFTs might have specific interactions ultimately with the DAO. The second thing that's interesting there is, you would want to have NFTs be like IBC capable in a sense, where you could move them between chains. So fungibility, transferability between chains would be really cool eventually. Like with some NFT standards, sort of like on Kadena has a cool thing called Marmalade. And what's interesting about that is the data about the NFT stays with the NFT. So buys and sells the, if you see what happened to Magic Eden, I think it's on Solana, what happened to that with the royalties problem where like the marketplace decides to like change the royalties on a whim and kind of fucked with a lot of projects who relied on those royalties. The royalties and all of those smart contracts actually belong with the NFT and interact directly with the blockchain. And don't necessarily, if I were to buy Jade, if I were to buy your NFT from you directly, right? The sale price of that NFT would be reflected onto the NFT data, even if we do an over-the-counter type of sale, right? Like where you sell directly to me. So all these interesting pieces of the puzzle, and they come together. These are the things that will make this powerful. And then, the last one is Andromeda, which is where Andromeda is building this composable DeFi/NFT infrastructure, which will allow you to sort of do interesting combinations of things. Create certain properties to NFTs or, it's complicated to explain it right now, but basically there's all sorts of neat things that when you add all the different technologies that have already been invented for NFTs together, the end result is going to be, I think a lot of fun sort of inbuilt utilities that you as an NFT producer don't have to learn how to make all this shit, right? It's just going to be in this operating system, so to speak. And you'll be able to transfer things wherever you feel like it and have different multi-chain actions that you could invoke with them. Because the thing is, let's say a chain becomes really, really busy. You need to have some scalability solutions. So with interchain security, you're going to be able to spin up consumer chains off of main chains if they get busy. You then want to be able to easily move your NFTs from here to there. Or let's say you have a collection and you want to be able to sell them all over the cosmos, but they're the same collection. You want them to have the ability to transfer between chain to chain, theoretically. That's another kind of it's just a cool endpoint where you can do all these things. And then you won't really notice, the end user eventually should not really be able to notice which chain they're on at that point. And like compared to most of the other like ecosystems of in crypto, Cosmos has like the right now the greatest capacity for multiple sovereign blockchains connecting with each other. So it's like the truest sort of like internet, like similar to TCP/IP for the internet. Like Cosmos is the closest to that, that kind of model of like endless scalability through infinite numbers of blockchains. And so there may be more, like you never know, Jade, like there might be like more NFT platforms in the future, not just Stargaze, but who knows how many will show up.
There should be more. I mean, right now we have Loop Marketplace, Hopers.
Wait, but can there be more on Stargaze, or there's only going to be Stargaze on Stargaze?
Stargaze is just, it's like the entire chain is dedicated to one app. So it's different. But like in the future, other chains can have full NFT projects. Like you don't necessarily have to be on like Juno layer one or something like that. The benefit you get for if you're on Juno is like what V was saying. Like the benefit you get is that you will, you have like the ability to use DAO tooling to be able to create like interesting organizations with the members that own your NFTs and do interesting shit like that. Like V, do you know what you guys are gonna do with DAO? Like what do you want it to do for you?
To be honest, so right now we have a DAO structure. Well, it's not a full DAO, but it's a hybrid model of a DAO that we have in place, and we're quite happy with it, and the community is happy with it. In regards to DAO tooling, I'm not fully aware of what it is and what it does. I don't really deal with the tech side of things, so I'm not sure what the guys want to do. But we're on four blockchains right now, actually. We're on Ethereum, Polygon, Juno, and we also have some people on Lunk. They're still on Luna Classic. I think we have about 300 Wrecked Wolves that are still on Luna Classic. So I'm not sure of what we're going to be doing with that. But in regards to interoperability and everything that you were talking about, we've talked about that in detail over at Wrecked Gang, and we have our Wrecked Wolves and Trippy Wolves under a layer.
I think you disconnected for a bit there. Or is it just me?
Jake? No, I can't hear him either, okay. Actually. But, you know, I was just looking up something interesting. The most popular price for star chodes. There are 5 star chodes for sale at 6,900 stars. And there's 8 star chodes for sale at 6,969 stars.
Well, remember, like these are people just like stuck a price in there and just stuck it for sale, right? Like, I don't think anyone's going to buy it for that just yet. But you never know, I guess. We'll see.
Well, there's one for 1 billion. Curious about that. I didn't even know you could put a figure in for that high.
Yeah, I'm going to put mine in for that much. That makes perfect sense. I was like, I'm not selling my bad kids until it's worth like, you know, 300 billion stars. It's got to do a like nice solid 500x, and then maybe I'll sell it.
Showed us your bad kids yet, have you?
I think I posted it at some point. It's a little kid with glasses. I don't know.
I want to see your bad kid.
All right, give me a minute. Hey, Coach. Bruce, what are you up to? What's going on with Bruce today? Maybe busy or something.
Maybe he quit Twitter again.
He's right here.
When is Bruce going to get a Cosmos NFT?
Bruce doesn't really mess with NFTs at all.
Oh, my God. Well, he's missing out on the fun. If Bruce were a bad kid, I wonder which bad kid he would be.
Okay, here's mine. Little funny little dude with glasses.
You know what it looks like?
Yeah, he reminds me kind of like of the little nerds in, you know, in Goonies, the little, I don't know what he was, like Chinese little Oriental kid who like made all the little inventions and all the little like hamster traps and all that shit or whatever. Remember that? Like he had the little...
Oh my God, look at him.
With the pulleys and all that shit and Goonies. Remember that kid? That's who I think this is. That's what I imagine it is.
Oh, I love him. I love the lined paper too.
Yeah, the lined paper was a nice little extra treat.
Okay, so like, when did this happen that these started to get popular? You know, because if I'm starting to buy them, obviously I'm a top signal. So,
right, that's probably true. No, I thought they were funny. As soon as like Meme Caesar, he was Oracle. He was here earlier. He was doing some memes of these, like almost like a couple of months ago or something. And they were, I just remember them being very funny. And I thought, I don't know. I liked them then, but I didn't get it till recently. I don't know why. I paid way too much for mine, I'm sure. But who cares? I don't care. It just takes some yield and buy some.
But I think, you know, paying too much, you know, I think this little star chodes in dollars was maybe $30. I think.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
That wasn't much. The bad kid was a lot. I think I paid $400. I paid 10,000 stars for my bad kid.
Okay. I think I paid like $4,000 or something. So,
like I said, top signal, but I had to have her, you know, I could have gone for the floor one, but this one was blonde and she spoke to me.
I think what happened too is I think Sunny, I don't know if you know, if you've seen Sunny speak, he's the fat Indian guy on that runs Asmosis. I'm talking about long hair, kind of plump looking character.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, so he mentioned it on YouTube like a week ago or something, or a week or two ago. That's why the bad kid's price might have popped, because he kind of, you know, it's like he's kind of like an OG Cosmos person, right? So, you know, he sort of like gave credibility to like that kind of status or whatever.
Got it. But then why today is everyone talking about the chodes? Like, that came out of nowhere.
I have no idea. They're just funny, fucked up little creatures. That's probably all. So.
And then there's Hua-Huas.
Yeah, that's like on the Huawa chain. That's a meme chain. And the Huawas are on Stargaze. I don't know if they have an NFT marketplace on the Huawa chain itself. Maybe Amir here knows. Amir, what's up?
Hey, Sefi. Hey, Gaines, Crush, Oracle, V. Yeah, I had a question. It wasn't about all these chosen and bad kids. It's about Spectrum. I have a little bit of a PTSD from Terra and what happened, so I do not research so much about it anymore. And I have a pretty big bag of Spectrum, and I just wondered if you knew what was going on with the project and if, you know, if there's still something going on there.
Yeah, Spectrum is open on Terra V2 now. And if you had Spectrum coins on the old chain, they're going to airdrop you something. Like, I haven't paid attention to it this last couple of weeks, but if I recall, there's an airdrop coming for people because I have Spectrum too. So I'm interested in that as well.
Is that a one-to-one or?
I don't know what it is. It almost doesn't matter because you don't really know what the new coin's worth anyway, right? So whatever they give, like, it's kind of like, it's sort of like a way to bring people that already understood the platform back. It's not trying to make you whole again or something like that. Although, like, my Kujira tokens did well. So I think I don't remember how much I paid for my Kujira coins originally. It wasn't too much. And I think, I don't know, maybe my Kujira is like at least as much as it's worth when I bought it. So, you know, that's good. It's like,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like, it's good that like, at least some of the projects are offering something like that. Cause I think maybe Prism. So Prism's opening on V2 as well. So I don't know if and when they took a snapshot and whether you're going to get some Prism tokens or something like that as well. But again, they won't be worth anywhere. They might not be worth anywhere near what they were like when you bought them or whatever you paid for them.
I wasn't really talking about the price, more of a, like, if the project is still, because it was
oh yeah, they're still there,
you know, so if there was still activity or if they give that up or whatnot.
No, they're in the like emergency council allocation. So I see their telegrams. Yes. And they are open already. That was part of like their requirements for getting the Terra V2 like emergency funding or whatever. So we gave them funding for having opened and everything. So yeah, they're running. I don't know what they're like. There's not that much on Terra V2 yet, right? So before we had all sorts of primitives and things and like auto compounding and all sorts of bullshit, right? Like that was sort of Spectrum's forte, was the auto compounding. And yeah, so I think they are opening. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for the next couple of years is probably going to be whatever projects that are interesting are going to offer some kind of like cross-chain liquid staking type things. Quicksilver is a chain that has some of that going on. And I think Stride is another one. But ultimately, I don't know that the way that like dApps and things have coins now, I don't know if that's going to be the way that it's going to be done in the future. I wonder if maybe like in the future, all coins will be sort of liquid staked coins. Think about like X Astro or something like that. Like there's no reason to like, there's no reason not to just issue them as liquid staked in the first place in some ways. Right. So I think that's going to be the future for most of those. So we'll see. Hey, T-Bard, what's happening?
Hey, what up, guys? Just chilling. Get close to the end of the workday. I don't really have any Stars NFTs yet. I was actually going to pick up some Stars this morning, and I saw everything was green, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll wait for a red day.
Yeah, I think Stars, though, didn't move up that much. Let me see what happened to Stars. Yeah, I'd say like the token price is still pretty fair on the whole. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. At the same time, it's like, I guess, yeah. Will it drop if everything else goes down? Probably. But at the same time, it's like, it seems like Stars is getting some momentum as far as like acknowledgement, and people are kind of seeing it. It's the highest volume NFT platform on Cosmos now, which is a good sign for Stargaze. So we'll see. I think the coin will be fine. If you look at long term, I think they've got a head start on a lot of different. They've got a good head start. I think they'll do well.
Yeah, I guess I'm not really too concerned about short-term price of the token anyway. I do like, you know, the idea of just with it being an NFT-only platform, just staking them because it's got pretty juicy staking rewards and just using that to get NFTs does seem like a cool way to just buy some NFTs without really outlaying too much capital ever.
Yeah, I bought quite a bit. Like, I bought, like, I don't know, I think I bought like $12,000 worth of Stars because I did it to help a validator. That was kind of what it was, but I did get quite a bit, and the yield is quite high. So it's like,
are you sweeping the chodes, Seffy? Are you sweeping the
Not really. I'm just buying like one or two of different things, and just saving the yield, and then I can just buy stuff as they show up.
If I had that, I can't allow myself to buy that many Stars because I would just go crazy and I would buy every single NFT. Look what I've done this week.
It's like you're going to do the women shopping spree.
I now have bought 11 NFTs in like 5 days after having bought maybe 3 in my entire life. So,
yeah, but it's also because they're pretty cheap on Stargate. They're not too bad as far as pricing. It's kind of fun. So, yeah, I think I don't know how much Stargaze I'm making per day, but it's I don't know. I think it's like maybe 300 to 500, something like that. So, you know, I could probably pick up one NFT a day that way. It probably will work out well. I think I'm guessing, like from a monetary perspective, if you say, well, is it more likely for the NFT to 10x versus the price of the coin? Because we're sort of in these kind of you know, bear market type conditions, I guess either of them could go up. So you're not really, I don't know. I think right now it's like you could throw darts at a dartboard and win pretty much. Like everything will go fucking up at some point. So I don't know. Like the other thing too is like the, with the stock market and everything else just in the toilet, right? Like, and that could go on for who knows how many years, right? So as a result, like people just want to make money somewhere. I think crypto is probably the better casino than the stock market at this point in terms of upside. So I think you might see kind of a, there's a good chance for a rally in the crypto space either way. So I think it's fine.
It's definitely more interesting and fun anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely more interesting. Messing around with stocks is boring. Not to mention, like, you're not really getting a like dramatically better deal with stocks, by the way. Like, stocks, holy shit. Like, there's a bunch of stocks that just got completely decimated. They make crypto look, you know, like, they make crypto look safe. Like, look at Shopify, look at Facebook. Like tons of like, you know, blue chip type things are really like way, way overpriced, overpumped stuff. Like, oh, almost anything crypto related in the stock market, for example, anything like, I don't know, Beyond Meat was one of them. Holy shit. Like Coinbase stock, everything got just torn to shreds. So like, it wasn't like you were protected there. And the other thing too is, at least in the crypto space, you have the opportunity to find some alpha here and there. As far as like new chains opening up or dApps or some other, whatever the hell, right? In the stock space, it's like, you know, the venture capital people and then the, you know, all these stock offerings and then the public offering, like, I mean, they're pretty much dumping on you. So like even in the stock market, if you found something interesting and fresh, you've got to wait till it has a pump and then completely gets decimated before you buy it. So I think in that sense, the crypto space is still more fun right now.
It was way overvalued even before COVID. And then after COVID, it just went bananas with so many stocks went up like 200%, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's going to be this feeling that like, well, if I can get wrecked anywhere, I might as well just, well, if I'm already in crypto, I'm going to get wrecked in crypto. You know, what's the difference at that point? I don't know. I think it's more fun in the crypto space for sure. Compared to stocks. I did start loading up the account though, to buy some things in stock market too, but NFTs and crypto are still more fun. And there's just too many interesting projects coming out too, that in crypto chains and things like that, where I think if you're in really, really early, I think there's a reasonable upside if you make small investments here and there and then just let them kind of sit there and see what happens. It's kind of what I'll be doing. I don't know if is like something wrong with Bruce's thing, because I kept his connection kind of kept like coming and going.
Is he trying
to? I usually have a terrible time in this with connection. This one's been rock solid, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. Usually if I'm on my like broadband Wi-Fi, it works really, really well. If I'm on my cell phone and stuff, or in this thing, the latest Twitter space problem is if you switch from one network to the other, like Wi-Fi to cell or switch Wi-Fi channels or something, it's dropping off to where like you can't hear some of the people. And that's the reason why that's happening. It's some sort of transition error of some kind.
I think I'm over the chode as my PFP. So if you want to change the name of this space, I completely understand. I'm glad I bought it for the memes. I love the memes. In fact, really the only cryptos I've ever made money on are the meme-y ones. So I have high hopes for my chode, but I think it's time to replace my pick. So I think we'll go back to Bad Kids. Yes. Okay, BRB.
Now, part of why I didn't go the NFT route too much was because there's a lot of the NFT crowd is somewhat tribal. And I was like, I'm not that badly interested in like connecting with one singular community or something. And so I just sort of like kept my generic one that I've had here, which is like, I don't know, just because I love the Fallout video game ethos. And that's about it. Like, that's the reason I have this one. And it's not an NFT, obviously. It's just a copy pasta from the internet.
Wait, what is your blonde thing? That's not an NFT?
No, this is Vault Boy from Fallout, the video game. You've never seen that game?
Oh no!
Didn't you tell some people it was worth like $300,000 or something one time?
Okay, and I'm not using my bad kid. This is one of my rebels, but I think she's very sexy, and I like her hair. She has complex hair. Apparently, this is a rare attribute, and the gold armor is rare as well. But it's hard. Every time I switch it, I do feel like I'm alienating a community, and I don't want to do that. Like, I love everyone. I just, you know, I get bored easily, and I like to switch it up.
Hey guys, sorry, I got rugged while I was talking about Layer Zero and everything. I think we've moved on.
You gave a whole lecture about this, and you're talking to yourself.
No, my phone rugged. My battery died, so I've just had to recharge it.
Okay.
So I didn't know as soon as it rugged. I was like, oh, shit. But yeah, no, I was just talking about Layer Zero and being able to move the Wrecked Wolf and the Trippy Wolf to any EVM-compatible chain anyway, so we can just move it from Ethereum to Polygon or Avalanche or think potentially even Evmos. And it's the same idea with the Wrecked Bulls now, that they're on Juno, but they can move anywhere we want them, powered by XLR network. So it's some fun tech stuff. By the way, someone messaged me and told me about Rebels NFT that there were two one-of-ones that got DMCA'd from Warner Brothers. One was a Harley Quinn and one was a Daenerys one-of-one.
Oh, okay. So they did some individual ones for fun, and they like sent them a message for those. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's usually individual ones, unless it's the entire collection that's using a base that they might go for. I think that's what happened with the Redacted Rabbits. Warner Brothers said that it's too similar to Bugs Bunny and the DMCA that. But Jade and Sefi, I appreciate you just using your PFP because you don't want to associate yourself with any specific NFT project, and same goes for Jade, that you're just using different NFTs every day, and that's good. And I guess as both of you have a large following, it's quite important to be careful and mindful of the PFPs that you use too, because obviously for you it's your audience that looks up to you, and even though you're just having fun and you don't want people to do what you're doing, you are influencing the decisions that they make sometimes. So for example, if they might see you buying a bad kid, or for Jade right now, you're using a Rebels NFT. So some of your followers might just go and ape in and just buy it. You've just bought it for fun as some pocket change, but they might go and ape into it.
Well, so I can speak to this because Sefi influenced me into buying a Chode, and that is why we are all sitting here.
It's too late. Chode NFT. Too late, Z.
What did I just buy? Because he posted something, and I was like, what is this? And I think I had seen someone else post about it, and that's it. I was done. And then I really looked at it. I hadn't actually looked at the attributes, like the male Chode. I didn't look at it that closely. And then I was just,
I've kind of given up on the idea of worrying about who's going to get wrecked with their money, because I've met enough stupid people on the internet that it's like it's a foregone conclusion that shit's going to happen no matter what you do or say. So,
and smart people will get wrecked on their money too. You
know. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I agree with you, Sefi.
As if we didn't get wrecked.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, people are responsible for their decisions themselves, and they need to make informed choices about the things that they're buying. There was a guy who arranged a Twitter Spaces the other day about Heroes and how they are a scam project. And even though I usually enjoy just ripping through projects and dissecting them and fudding, well, they say that I'm fudding them. No, I'm not usually fudding them, but I'm just putting serious questions on their intentions and what they're actually doing with the project. And there was this guy, he was saying that, oh, I'm going to expose Heroes. And I was kind of excited about it. I was like, oh, shit, he's actually going to come up with some evidence or something. And when he arranges the spaces, all he was complaining about was buying the top of a sub-community, Hero Bulls. And I was like, bro, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on. You're wasting your time. You're wasting everyone else's time. And your people are losing their IQ over here. And he was just complaining like a Karen over there.
That's funny. Yeah, there's a lot of complainers on the internet. That's very funny. Yeah, Emir, what's up?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, people always tend to blame others. It's easier like that, you know. But even like there's even with smart people who make good decisions, they sometimes tend to like question what projects do with the money that they earn. That I don't quite understand. Basically, if the project is, you know, like we're asking people, yeah, what happened with X amount of money and whatnot. I don't think it's really like it's not really so relevant as long as they deliver what they're delivering, and that's it. You bought into it. You know it's a trade. It's a liquid. It's, if you want to sell it back, you can sell it back. But you know, I don't think it's people's like I don't think people like should really be asking these questions. You know, instead of what are they building actually? You know?
Yeah. I haven't been looking particularly for like utility-based NFTs. I think occasionally if there are some like this raccoons where there's like a casino attached to it and there's some like revenue attached to that, it's interesting, it's fine. But at the same time, like I'm not betting on like, I don't know, like let's say for example, you bought a very expensive NFT and you were betting on that project or that company or whatever the fuck it is to deliver for the next, let's say 10 years, because you're going to retire off this like casino NFT or something. It's not rational, like, because you're basically dealing with a centralized entity of some kind. Yeah, there's decentralization, but the team isn't necessarily. And it means that like if something happens with execution on that end, then you're not going to get your yield. Let's just be fair. So I'm not buying the thing with the intention that I'm worried about the future earnings potential of this security or whatever. I don't know. To me, it's like still the sort of like art NFT is still kind of in its purest form. The most, just buying it for the art is the most obvious reason to buy these things still to me. It'd be no different than like if I buy a, I don't know, like a music MP3 or something like that, you were to buy it for some reason to own it. You're not expecting it to do like backflips for you. You're not expecting it to get like membership to the next, you know, Eminem concert or something. Like it's not needed. You don't need that extra stuff to make it, to either make it fun or like serve its primary purpose. So when people talk in like fantasies about like what like NFTs could or couldn't do, it's like, well, sure. Like who hasn't had like, I don't know, frequent flyer miles or membership cards or, you know, some other form of, similar thing. And, you know, people act like all these little NFT, utilities are going to be like world changing or some shit. No, they're not. They're just iterations of like something that was already done before to a large extent. And it's like, it's just in a different data package, but that doesn't mean necessarily like, you know, you should go buy that thing because of some, you know, ridiculous utility that you think it's going to have over the long term.
No.
Most of those things, it's not a surprise that people are like, I see some people so amped up about those things. I'm like, you're just like creating hopium for yourself for no obvious reason. There's no, like anyone in the brain knows that these things aren't going to be worth, like they're not that important for the utility angle necessarily.
At the end of the day, it's like a Ponzi scheme. It's like a Ponzi scheme at the end of the day that people mint NFTs and then they shill them as much as they can so that they can pump the price of that NFT and get some exit liquidity. And then the bag holders after that continue to do the same thing. They try to shill it so that they can get some exit liquidity at fit, and it depends on how much people are invested. And sometimes if the team gives up or doesn't deliver, then people just start undercutting the floor and selling those things for a really cheap price, even below the mint. And that's if people have bought it because they think it's associated with some utility. But if people have bought it for the meme, the culture, and just because it's funny, for the art, for example, the Bad Kids, then no, people are just going to keep it. Like, I've bought my Bad Kids not for a utility, but just because it's funny. That's it. There's nothing else to do with it.
There is one utility. Go ahead. Go ahead, Vigo. I'm sorry.
I think Sefi wanted to say something. I'm done.
No, go ahead. You're saying something about there's one utility. What?
Yes, there is one utility that, like, it's undeniable that many projects they will issue these NFTs to make money to build up, you know, to build up other things, you know, like the NFT itself is not really so relevant. Of course, it's better if the art is good and whatnot, but they're raising money to build like a project or a token or whatnot. So that's one thing that's definitely it's relevant, you know. It's, of course, you can buy for the art, but also, you know, you're buying into
a project. If you're using these things as like a fundraiser or a coupon or something like that, it's fine. Like, I think as long as you know what you're buying and you're fine paying the money for it, like, who gives a shit, right? Like, it's fine. Like if I go buy a movie ticket, for example, like, I'm not, you know, like, expecting, you know, gifts to fall from the sky. I just want to go watch a movie. So I think it just, as long as you get what you expect, it's fine. I don't give a shit. The other thing too is like the marketplace thing where people are shilling and pumping and doing all this usual stuff. That, like, I don't know, it's not anything different than the real world art market, right? You have these marketplaces, they take like, I don't know, 50% plus of the earnings of the artist. Why do they do this? Like, well, because real estate costs money. And if you've got like art galleries and in popular places that tend to attract art buyers, you're paying fairly high rent usually in some of these locations, like San Francisco, Santa Fe, like if you look at US or New York or something like that. So art galleries aren't cheap to run. And if you're an artist and nobody sees your shit, then, well, you're not selling any art. So, you know, you can make a decision to, I guess, put your stuff on eBay or whatever. But like in the physical art world, there's a whole pumping process that goes on, marketing and the whole works. So it's not that different, I don't find. And yeah, I mean, like when you add sort of like the social element and everything else, it's not that different from playing a video game. Because in video game guilds, like, I don't know, your World of Warcrafts and things like that, what you end up having is a similar concept where you have to gin up a whole crowd. You have to play the game. The more people that you can, like, the more interesting weapons and shit you get in the game, the more people are attracted to your guild, because you then can credibly go and kill monsters. And it's like this whole, I don't know, like, there's a whole grind to the whole thing. And I don't see the NFT grind as any different than anything people have been playing games on the internet all along. Yeah, sure, there's money attached to it, but like, so what? Like, people spend ridiculous money on, like, people spend crazy ass money on those little, like, what is it called, the pay-to-play games on iPad and stuff, whatever, on your phone. People play, like, I remember playing, I forget what it was called, not Clash of Clans or some shit like that at some point. One of those types
Let's not talk about Clash of Clans.
I don't remember if it was that game or something else.
On that.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Clash of Clans at one point, but there's some other ones too. I forget the one I was playing. And I remember, like, I had sort of, like, I don't know, just, I was bored and I was like, I'm like, what do these games do? I'm going to fuck with one of them. Maybe I can find something to relive the video game glory days, right? You download one of these little phone games. And I remember, like, I think it was like maybe 10 years ago, something like that. And I was so into the fucking thing because I was good at this shit, right? Like, because I'm good at these things. Like, so I was sitting there like at 5 a.m. because, you know, it's like worldwide time where who the fuck knows when events happen. And you're like 5 a.m. and my wife's like, where'd you go? Like, I'm over here in the other room. I'm like drawing up a war chart for like everybody. Cause like you had to, like, there was like 50 people. I forget the name of the game, shit. Like, and there's like 50 people on your team. And I had to like assign all their movements and what they're going to do and how they're going to like attack and shit. And I was good at this shit. Like, so obviously if everyone's winning, it's like, you know, you'll get more of the people that want to play and play for like hardcore if you like plan and do this properly. Right. So I remember like meeting this one guy who came and played with us, and, he had all sorts of gear and other shit on his character. I'm like, dude, like, have you just been playing since the game first came out, or were you like, I don't know, like, were you, did you pay a lot of money for this? And he's like, oh yeah. Like, fuck, dude. You won't believe how much I spent on this game. And I'm like, what? Tell me. He's like, oh, like $300,000. I'm like, motherfucker, what are you talking about? $300,000? Why in the hell would you spend that kind of money on this? It's not even, this is before, by the way, NFTs and all this other stuff came out. Like, this idea that somehow people are going to pay that level of crazy money for digital art. I mean, digital shit, I should have known, because like I had the world record sale for an EverQuest character around 2000. I think my character sold for like $7,000, right around that, in eBay, right before eBay shut down like character sales and shit. Like, I think it was like 2000, something like that. You can look it up, whatever, fuck. But anyway, I should have known like people would pay $300,000 when some dumb motherfucker paid $7,000 for my EverQuest character. But I think digital identity and how much people are willing to like throw away money on that if they're wealthy is pretty obnoxious. Like, it's really, really interesting. Like, that Kim Kardashian game made a shit ton of money. Like, I don't remember what it's called, but like there's something called the Kardashian something video game, and I guess you collect like, you know, fashion accessories and glasses or whatever the fuck they sell on the little thing. And apparently that thing made like many, many millions, like into the hundreds of millions range of like profit for that family. It's just hilarious. But like the power.
If you enjoy playing games, you should check out one game on Ethereum. It's actually a metaverse game, but it's really, really fun. It gives me Pokemon vibes and like the old games. It's a 2D metaverse game. It's called World Wide Web, and it's really, really fun to play in. So right now it's only open for landholders.
So what do you do on this thing? Like, what is the point of it?
So there's games there. You can interact with each other. There's the social aspect of it. You can mine stuff, you can make stuff, you can sell stuff. But right now it's only in its beta version, and it's only open for people who are landholders. And they're saying that for landholders, there's going to be opportunities to earn some sort of yield by when they're going to have ads and everything else when they open it for the public too. But I can link... I can put in a link, a short video of Kudo playing that game, who's the Red Wolf artist, and you can probably check it out. It's really fun.
One of the problems with those kinds of games is whoever is like OG in the game and who's been doing it from the very, very beginning, like alpha or beta, they have so much more information than you. Like, you know, it's hard to catch up with those people unless you got lucky and found the game really early. And like hardcore gamers actually will like really, really follow closely as far as like when new games are going to come out, and they will hop onto the beta, even if it means that they'll lose all their equipment and stuff. Like, they'll hop onto the beta to learn all the tricks and like learn all the mechanics early so they can kind of beat everyone else to the punch or whatever. But that's the only downside. Like, I haven't figured out like how NFT games and whatnot are going to prevent that problem.
So the interesting thing with them is that when they launch for public, everything will be wiped out. So none of the previous holders are going to have any advantage over
the public. They'll have the advantage of the knowledge, like, yeah, of having learned the end. And that's what Sevi's talking about. It doesn't matter about what you earn in terms of like,
yeah,
utilities in the game. It's just about, you'll know the ins and outs.
Yeah, once you know the mechanics, they're going to have a tendency to beat you anyway. And actually, those people are going to be the ones that are most hardcore likely to play because they know they can get an upper hand. Now, I guess it's possible they could get bored of the game quicker because they already know the game as well. But yeah, like what, part of the fun of some of the like getting in really early in like multiplayer online games. I remember when, like, for example, when EQ first came out, or Ultima Online, or World of Warcraft, when these things very first come out, right, and it's new to practically everybody, like there is a fun in discovering these things from the very beginning, without any spoilers, right, where none of this shit is known online, and people are like creating forums and talking about this shit. Like, that is the ideal game to me. And I think because the games have gotten so huge, take any of the like games now, they're just so massive. They need like these extensive alpha and beta testing rounds in order to like make the games even playable. Like even like big games on PlayStation and stuff like that, right? Like they go through, you got to wait for like, I don't know, a year for the fucking thing to update. So you're not like getting your save games wrecked or something because they're so messed up. So that's sort of taken a little bit of the mystery out of it. To me, it's almost like what should be done is these game, like older games where they've worked all the bugs out, should basically just take those same engines and restart entirely new, fresh environments and new game mechanics, but keep all of the game engine intact, so that you could create a fresh new like world for everyone to play on, but you're fairly certain it's not broken, right? I think that would be kind of a fun thing to be able to do, is like just show up, not worry about bugs and everything, not have a bunch of people with alpha beta experience, and just like explore together. And that's a really when nobody knows what's next in the game and it's a massive game. I remember this was in like EQ or in World of Warcraft or whatever. I just remember it being really, really, I don't know. It's just super captivating when nobody else knows and you're discovering it with the other friends and want to show up every day. It's like watching a new movie every day. It's like, oh, you're all checking out this new area and nobody's ever seen it before. And like then you post online on the forums and stuff, right? Because that was a really, like really, really fun experience. I remember that because with EQ, our guild, like Fires of Heaven, was like the biggest guild in the game, or like that we got to everything first. So that was really interesting as well. So like our forum, like webpage or whatever, I think one of the guys in our group like made a PHP nuke, like, or something, forum thing. And, it became like one of the most highly visited websites in the game. Like our guild page was, which was super, like, interesting. So it's like any word I said, like, about my character class, like the whole world would read about it. It was really funny. So it was really like an interesting influence thing. Guilds on video games are almost like DAOs are now in many ways, like interesting organizational structures and all of that. So yeah, I think ultimately the really, really good crypto games, I think they just haven't been built yet. Like, but you said the 1v, it's called what world? Like, what's the link for it? Do you have a, can you post it up top? How do you get to that? You say it was worldwide something, World Wide Web. Are you there?
I got a slight change of gear, still on NFTs. What do you think about giving out NFTs for participation in governance? Nothing complex, just like an I voted badge with a prop number. It kind of, I don't know, to me it seems like a no-brainer to maybe drive more participation.
Yeah, actually this was a project on Terra that was doing that exact thing, where the more things you voted on and the more things that you like if you were early, if you participated in IDOs and things like that, I think it's called
Avatar NFT, right? Yeah, that exactly. Was, I don't think they quite got to launch, did they?
No. So I think they're launching on some other platform. I saw them recently post somewhere. I think they might be opening up something on Polygon, maybe. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, that was an interesting. Yeah, because then the benefit of doing that would be is if you are someone who has maybe bought a certain amount of coins, you're kind of a whale, or maybe you have you've participated in governance or whatever, you got a certain amount of like scoring or whatever, and that got saved to your avatar, and then like you might get into I don't know, special deals, early IDOs or other things when it comes to future airdrops and stuff like that, right? Because a lot of times airdrops tend to go to people that don't like use them or who are going to sell their airdrops. So if you're the type of person that didn't sell airdrops is a great example, then you got a higher ranking on your avatar. And therefore, like in future airdrops, you're more likely to get bigger allocations. Does that make sense? Like, so that was kind of the thing that was really building up on Terra before the crash. That would have been really nice. But the idea is fairly straightforward. Hey, Ears, what's going on, man?
GM. Yeah, just thought I'd hop in. I heard you guys talking about the crypto games. It's something I've been looking at quite a bit in the last few, like, couple of weeks. And, yeah, we've got a couple of ideas. We've got a couple of ideas of what to build here. I want to bring back guilds, Seffi. I want to bring them back in a big way. So I think, yeah, we've got a couple of ideas. And might push a little light paper. Let's see.
Yeah, I think look at do you remember back when BBSs were a thing? You know, BBS is when you logged on to someone's, like, computer using your modem. You remember this?
I don't.
Did you play with the internet? That did you play with the computers before the internet?
No. No. I remember dial-up. As a small child, I had dial-up. So, you know, that was
okay. So yeah, you okay? My... So I'm clearly older than you are then. Yeah. So yeah, when you in BBSs, they used to have these little things called door games. And door games were these, like, almost text-based games where you'd have, like, basic, like, rudimentary ASCII graphics and stuff, right? But it was really, really simple games. And one of them was called Legend of the Red Dragon. You can actually, I think, log onto the internet and play it now. I think people have emulated it. And it's, like, a simple role-playing game where, you know, it's, like, text-based. And you say, attack the dragon, and you hit the A button, and... you know, maybe you hit it for 7 hit points or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, talking about the basic role-playing game. And because it was bandwidth limited and time limited, because, like, if you logged on to some server with your modem, and if you stayed on for, like, I don't know, an hour, then, like, other people couldn't log on. That was the thing about BBS, is, like, whatever games had to be produced for these things had to be really, really, like, something you only spend a little while on every day, which is actually perfect, because if you think about, like, you know, on Prism Protocol, you know how they have a little confetti every day?
Yeah.
You claim your rewards and you get the confetti, and, like, it made sense to claim them daily because you're compounding your yield or something. That sort of once a day engagement where, like, when you wake up in the morning, you push a few buttons, you brush your teeth and you go to work. That's a really, that's a very engaging type of simple game that you could create that, like, you could tie a lot of interesting things to. You know, there might be even some, like, teamwork type things involved where, like, you don't even necessarily have to all log in at the same time. So let's say, for example, you're fighting this dragon and everyone needs to log in at least once a day to, like, I don't know, swing their axe at the dragon or whatever the hell, right? So you can almost play a team game where everyone's participating, but not everyone's on at the same time. Does that make sense? And then the next role will be the next day or whatever, and et cetera. And so the nice thing about that is it creates daily engagement. And when you have daily engagement, then, like, your NFT becomes more valuable in a sense, because now it,
like, I don't know, it's needed or something. If there's going to be utility, it's like a daily utility that you come back to over and over and over again. And people really play those kinds of things a very long time. It's actually amazing.
That reminds, so the other day I found like a choose your own adventure text-based thing, but there's an AI one. And it would ask you, what are you going to do next? And then you would input basically whatever you want. And then it would calculate what to do, what happens next. And most of the time it's hilarious. Like it's very, very actually responsive. And it's sort of like, you can do whatever you want. You fly away. And then it says, you rocket up into the air. And you like, and it's like pretty funny. You can put rails
on it. What's that called? It sounds awesome.
It's like AI Dungeon. Let me find the link. Let me share it. But it's hilarious.
It's like where the AI is being like the dungeon master in D&D.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where is it? But people have made like different scenarios and stuff. Like, it's not always that great. It's a little bit random at times, but you can tune it. You can turn up and down the randomness with a little dial. Here we go. If you go into quick play, how do I do this? I'll share it as a tweet. That's what I'll do. Bum, bum, bum. But yeah, it's pretty hilarious just overall. And whether it's actually, you could actually use it as the foundation of a game, I'm not sure. But I think they have actually done that. Actually, I think they have made a couple of games using this tech already. There we go.
But in general, when it comes to RPG type games too, you don't need very good graphics at all to make them really fun. Historically, actually, like a lot of the early Zelda and games that people like, right? The graphics were not why you played these things, right? RPGs are just sort of captivating in and of themselves, like the progression and like the maps and like all that. And to some extent, like the open world games became too, like, they became like a gameplay mess. Like, if probably a lot of people have played Skyrim as a good example, where you're running around and like in like kind of medieval type of environment. And the problem with the open world games is like the progression is all messed up. Like, on the one hand, you have a creature that, you know, can hit you for a million points over here, and a rat over here that, you know, you're actually capable of killing. And when the progression is not in a certain order, like it gets all messed up, because you can level up too high in one corner of the game, and when you go to the other corner of the game, the rat's now hit for a million points. It just doesn't make any sense.
There are two nice examples of that, of the two ends of the scale. One was Elder Scrolls Oblivion, ironically.
Exactly.
The world would level up with you.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Skyrim, Oblivion, same thing. Yeah, they leveled up with you, but it didn't make any sense.
Like, you know, I never played Skyrim. You know, that's one of the weirdest things. Like, everyone's played Skyrim because it's on every single device known to man, including the Samsung fridge. But I haven't played it.
I mean, objectively, it was just about the best RPG ever, like non-MMO type of game. So it was very good, but like at the same time, that scaling made no sense. Older school RPGs where you progressed like in a more controlled way, where the story progresses and, you know, to where the difficulty moves in a certain direction, I think makes more sense, actually. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, Elden Ring is a bit more like that old school style of the world doesn't level up with you. There's certain places you can go and can't go until you've progressed. And it does have a bit more of that old school game design vibe.
Yeah, like it became like the avant-garde thing to kind of make open worlds. It does feel more real in the sense that like that's how a world would normally feel. But it doesn't always make for a better game, though. That's the problem. And you saw this with Skyrim in particular and Elder Scrolls and everything. You're like, wait a minute. I can go and like level to 100 or whatever the fuck on a rat and then go fight a dragon. It doesn't make any sense. So the mechanics break really easily when it comes to the believability or whatever. So it just, it's a strange experience.
The perfect opposite of that was like Dark Souls, where from the starting area you could go down into like this cave, like, oh well, this seems like a logical place to go, and then like the basic little exploding skull enemy just one shot kills you instantly. And you're like, oh shit, this is not a good idea. There's no obvious like leveling of the enemies that you just find out, like, oh, this area is tough because I just instantly get killed. So I probably won't come back here for a while until I have better gear and better levels. But yeah, it's like Pokemon and those kinds of games were nice because it's kind of like, yeah, you progress through the areas. There's no real way to sort of skip to get to one that you can't actually sort of like compete in. And they'd obviously tested it rigorously because they figured out what kind of level you might be when you get to the next town or to the next city, whatever. And they figured, well, we're going to scale it roughly to that. And yeah, it worked out pretty nice.
But imagine though, like the game I just described, where like if you could log in and you could do your actions and like the other people that you organized in your group also, maybe like it's a group of like six, let's say, like group of six or seven is probably a good enough size. Getting any bigger than that it's hard for anyone to like have it work right. But imagine if you could do your actions and do it anytime during the day or something like that. And then like the beauty of that is you're incentivized to create guilds and create groups. So the community forms by virtue of like, that's how you win this game over time, as opposed to simply, I don't know, paying more money for, I don't know, swords and shit. Like this idea that somehow people are going to come into NFT worlds and do like a pay for, it's like a pay to play idea where like the swords and the armor and whatever, you buy NFTs for this stuff. And then now you're more all powerful. It's just stupid. Like, it's not a good gameplay experience. It's like,
Rust kind of plays like that way you're describing. It's like a survival game. Just you're thrown on an island and it's server based and multiplayer. So the servers just like wipe and reset once every 2 weeks or month or whatever. And so like you could, you know, have your group that you're playing with, and I might log on and I'm not very good at building. So I'll just come on and maybe go out and do some farming and knock down some trees and get some stone and stuff and put it back. And then someone else on our team is in a different time zone. They might be good at building and they'll log on and they'll go, okay, cool. So-and-so has got the supplies. I'm going to like fortify our base. But it's not very guided, but it does kind of play that way you're describing.
Yeah. Or like a moderate size guild. Like it's designed to have like, okay, like you said, like there's maybe a group of five people that are the builders. Another five need to be the, I don't know, the farmers or something. Another five is the, some kind of warriors or something like that, right? Like you some system where like small groups have something to do, much larger groups have something different to do. Like how do you monetize all this in some kind of, you know, NFT or transactional thing? Maybe it's just like you just pay a like a minuscule fee per transaction. It's almost like, you know, like the monetization is just in like the sheer volume of transactions, and they're all little bitty microtransactions, like a penny here and a penny there, and no one gives a shit. Maybe that's the way to do it. Like, but where you sell preemptively NFTs or something, and only if I have this NFT, like it makes sense, or I'm going to win this game. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like people haven't really figured out how to attach real world money to the value of in-game NFT objects or in-game objects and keep the game fun. Nobody has figured that shit out exactly. Like, because as the price of the stuff goes up, like swords or whatever the hell it is, it becomes a system where like, unless you pay to play, you're just so gimped. Like it doesn't make any sense. Where essentially like only the rich people, actually can do really well in the game, or people willing to like pay money for it. The other thing that happens when you attach real world money value to video game things is you'll make decisions based on how much you make it work. So let's say, for example, you make $10 an hour at work. You'll say to yourself, wait a minute, like, why the fuck do I want to spend like, you know, 10 hours doing this thing in this game to make $10 worth of this thing when I can just go to my job at McDonald's and make $10. And then I can like just buy this thing instead, right? You start equating
in your mind, you start equating real world value and real world work to the in-game thing, and it ruins the game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The suspension of disbelief is gone at that point, or whatever.
Did you guys play DeFi Kingdoms?
I did not. One of the guys that we know on here by the name of Flu, I think was part of the DeFi Kingdoms thing.
Brainpaw.
And he got wrecked, but that's a different story.
I got wrecked on that too. What did I not get wrecked on? But what I would say is I first started playing DeFi Kingdoms, and it was more expensive, and it wasn't as fun to play the game because every time I wanted to level up a hero or buy a hero or summon a hero or, you know, do anything like that, it costs a lot of money. You know, the cheapest hero at the time was like $1,200. So the only positive thing to come out of, you know, DeFi Kingdoms going from $20 to 20 cents is, you know, now I can summon as many heroes as I want. I can buy eggs. I can do all the hatching, all the pets that I want, and I buy all these items, and it doesn't matter. And I can actually enjoy playing the game. And so
so now it's actually reasonable.
Yeah, so when the price was up, you know, you didn't want to play the game. And the funny thing is,
but now somehow, that it's cheap, though, now that it's cheap, is the game actually good? Like, do you like it?
Well, I mean, I kind of stopped playing all that stuff. You know, I loved DeFi Kingdoms for a while, like when I was just doing DeFi stuff every second of every day. So you have to quest these heroes. And if you really want to, like, get the most bang for your buck, then you're going to quest them 3 times a day, right? Because they have to regenerate their stamina. And somehow I got put in this, like, whale chat with these, like, with these guys that... that had like big money in the farms and stuff with DeFi Kingdoms, and they were obsessed with questing their heroes. These people had like a minimum of 200 heroes each, and I don't know how they had the time to quest these heroes, and they had the really rare ones that were like $50,000. But it's interesting because they had the money to play the game, and they loved playing the game, and just being a fly on the wall on these chats was absolutely fascinating. But now I feel like a DFK whale because I can summon as I want.
Yeah, when you watch the discussion when like people are throwing this kind of money around and stuff, yeah, it's interesting. But notice how though, when you're brand new, you feel like is it a game? Let's put it this way: is DeFi Kingdoms a game? If I were to just show up, I'm going to be competitive in this thing without like having as much money as the people that already have like mega heroes or whatever the hell, you know, the features in the game are. Like, do you have to have a lot of money to start at this point?
At this point, you don't need as much. It's not quite a game, like a video game. I thought there was going to be more game aspects than they kept promising. Now you can do duels. There's all like you can summon heroes. So let's say you had a hero with certain attributes and another hero with different attributes. The way that you play them is you want to combine certain heroes to summon a different hero, combining those attributes. And there's a lot of science that goes into it. And there's people that have really studied this. I am not one of those people. I'm just like, oh, I'm going to make these two heroes because they're going to get purple hair or whatever, which is not what you should do when you're spending like $1,000 to summon each hero. Lesson learned. When there's people that actually study this like a job. So there is some game aspect, but it hasn't quite turned into the game that I thought it was going to be.
It's a mix of attracting one, the hardcore gamer that wants to spend. It's also attracting the people that are like the absolute newbies. And that's a problem generally in online
there's
games.
There's a new one. So I met the founder in Texas at Consensus. It's called Crystals of Naramoons. And instead of it, this guy was really, really cool. And now instead of it being a play to earn, it's going to be a free to earn, something like that. And so if you guys say go sign up on the website, it hasn't actually launched yet. It's still in alpha, not even in beta. So I think if you sign up, you'll get to be one of the early people that'll qualify for, you know, whatever NFT or airdrops or anything. But they've started to release some of the trailers, and this is going to be an actual game. And the reason why I like this is, you know, the guy that's creating it, he's done video games his whole life. And he just, you know how we were talking about that inner child? He really embraces that child within. And you can see that coming through within his game. And so I think everyone that kind of got rugged on DeFi Kingdoms by thinking that it was going to be a game, they'll really be attracted to this one. And so it'll be free to play, but you can buy the token for like in-game purchases to make it better. And then if I read the white paper like 4 months ago, so I don't remember all of it, but it'll go through seasons. So you accumulate all of your rewards through one season, and then you can choose to cash them out or convert them into some kind of NFT that you can use for like the next season. It sounded like a cool idea and the graphics look really cool. But that's a project that I'm watching just because I met the guy and he seemed kind of cool. Crystals of Nara Moons.
Jade, I'm going to have to, I've got, I've got to get to sleep because I've got to get to work in the morning. I just realized. So we'll, yeah. I'll catch you guys later.
Okay. Well, this was lovely. And, I'll talk to you guys soon. Or we can stay in chat for a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, we can chat. If Steffi's going to sleep, not sure if he's gonna, if the space is gonna end. You are co-hosting, so you'd be right.
Does it stay open if I keep my phone open?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I was just having a look at. I was just going through these numbers on the. There's this spreadsheet that Berserker from Rectbank does every day about NFTs and. The Chodes are actually in the top 15 or top 20 in terms of market cap in the projects that he does.
What does that even mean?
So it means that the top 15 project that he's going through, and these are projects across Stargaze, Luna, and Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of market cap, it's in the top 15. Does that make sense? So it's the
okay,
top,
yeah.
It's in the top 15 of the biggest projects that he's doing the numbers of over there in terms of the stats and everything. And the bad kids actually pumped yesterday. I've pinned a tweet.
Where can you follow that? Does he publish that every day?
Yeah. He publishes it every day on the Wrecked Gang Twitter and Discord. So I've pinned the tweet.
Okay.
I've pinned the tweet, so you can probably see it in the spaces.
Okay, I see it. Okay, so walk me through why does it say Matic?
So it's because he's doing the numbers across different blockchains. So Wrecked Gang is a multi-chain DAO. We've got Trippy Wolves on Matic on Polygon, which was a free airdrop for Wrecked Wolf holders. So we follow projects on one planet. Some of these are projects that were previously on Luna.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing them. Along with that, he's doing the projects on Luna, such as Galactic Punks, Redacted Ronins, and Skeleton Punks. And then he's looking at projects on Stargaze too, such as the Bad Kids, the Stargaze Punks, and actually he's doing Juno as well, apparently, with Levana Dragons. So we've got four chains over there.
Bad Kids went up 15% in 24 hours.
Yeah. I mean, the flow was...
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a Chepe Space Come Teach Jade About NFTs. Recorded on Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
be sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls, handed reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big drip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hid the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2.